Be seated. Oh, what a country. Thank God for America. Welcome to LifeGate. Glad you're here. I hope you've been touched already, and if not, maybe you will be. Thrilled you're here with us, and if this is your first time with us, I hope you know it's one of the first of many. If you'll hang around after the service, I would love to meet you, shake your hand. I'm Delbert. I'm the pastor, and we're just glad you're here. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And what we wanted to do this year, we've done it in the past, but because of all that's happening in the earth today, we wanted to just dedicate the whole service to the thought of the Memorial Day. It's a time, you know, that I guess that we've taken it and made it a holiday, and well, it should be. But its original purpose was to be a solemn holiday. We've made it barbecues and family functions, and well, that is. But in 1868, it was originally created so that we would remember the Civil War and those that had fallen in it. What I'm trying to say to you today is that this is going to be a solemn message. It's not going to be one you're going to hear a lot of amens or glory hallelujahs, because Memorial Day is a solemn time. And I also want to make it relevant. I want to make it very relevant to what's happening all around us today. The terrorism and the wars and all the crazy stuff going on. I want to give us a different perspective, perhaps, and look at something a little bit differently. So my title today is Listen, What Are They Saying? Those that have fallen are still saying something. And those that have shed their blood, given their lives so that you and I can enjoy the American lifestyle that we now join and live, they're saying something, and they're still saying something. They died for something. And if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn with me to these passages. We'll be looking at many, of course, and they'll be on the screen for you, but really would like for you to look at these, Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, Matthew 23:33, and Revelation 6:9. Look at those passages, and while you're turning and sticking papers and pencils or whatever to mark those so that you can read along with me, I want to pray. Ask the Lord to help us. Father, we really want to learn of you and your ways. And Lord, I pray today that as we begin to bring this particular message, this particular word, that we'll hear what the Spirit has to say, and that we can really listen and hear what those who have given their blood continue to say. I pray you'll open our ears so that we can hear. And I pray you anoint me so that I can say and explain and teach what you've shown me. I ask you to be with us all. Touch our hearts and our spirits. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is big on memorials, and I believe He appreciates us taking time and appreciating and remembering those who have literally laid their lives down so that you and I can live an abundant life, so that we can experience the freedoms that we have. And I believe He will bless you abundantly if you will take time tomorrow and not only remember them, but listen to what they continue to say, and then pray for those and for those families who have lost loved ones, and those that are even right now in Afghanistan and Iraq, those that are still out there right now putting their lives in jeopardy and in danger so that you and I can live here on this continent and this great nation with the freedom and the liberty that we have. God honored His armed forces. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a long, long list of those that literally did that. They were sawed asunder. The Bible talks about the people that were martyrs. And God honors those people. And did you even know that communion, you know, even Jesus Christ was our commander-in-chief. Did you know that even His blood is to be looked at as a memorial? What was His blood for? What did he give His life for? I want to read this passage to you in Luke 22:19, and it says, "And He took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance," or in memorial, "to Me. Likewise," make memorial of this as well, "likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you." He wants us to remember what His blood was about. What did He give His blood for? And so as we have Holy Communion, we should think about the blood. And if you'll think about it, the blood really speaks to us. I want to make special notice in that passage that I just read that Jesus wanted us and used the thought of His blood, He said, "My blood," to be a memorial. I want you to remember it. I want you to remember what I gave My body for. I want you to remember what I gave My blood for. It was for a covenant. It was for you. It was so you could have a life and that abundantly. Now, I know that we know that the blood of Jesus Christ washes us from our sins. You hear me talk about that often, and it's often misthought where we say it like it washes our sins from us. But no, you're the ones that moves. The blood causes us to move. And if you want to check me out on that, then look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 or Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And what you'll see there is that we are actually the ones that move. The blood causes us to move. It washes us. It cleanses us. And it moves us. But one way that the blood helps us to move is by speaking. Blood speaks. You remember the story of Cain and Abel? They were the sons of Adam and Eve. And one day Cain became very angry at Abel. And the Bible says he slew him. See, Cain was religious. He gave a sacrifice, he gave an offering, but he was religious while Abel was righteous. There's a big difference. See, religion makes you mean and angry. Religion will cause you to kill and destroy. Religion comes at us and against us and causes us to hate, but righteousness causes us to love. And so one day, Abel was in the field, just doing his life, what he was created to do. And the Bible says Cain slew him. Now that's a violent word. It was a horrible death. It was a bloody death. Cain slew him. Now here's what God did. He came to Cain. He came to Cain because of Abel's death. But I want us to notice why He came. It wasn't just to visit Cain. It was because the blood of Abel was speaking. It was because the blood of Abel was talking to God. And it's for this reason that God came and visited Cain. And I want us to see this passage. Read it with me, if you will, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 10. And it says here, "The Lord said, What have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to Me from the ground." I want us to notice that the Lord God listens to blood. And I want us also to notice that He's telling Cain here to listen. We too should be able to hear what blood is saying. See, memorial times such as tomorrow will be, as Monday will be, are for us to remember. And we will remember, but if you will go a step further and listen, you'll find God and where God is moving. You'll find what God is doing. You'll have a greater understanding and revelation of Him. Because the blood is speaking if we will listen to what they are saying. What are they saying? Blood is saying something. The blood of Jesus Christ says, I want you to remember what I gave my blood for. I want you to remember that I gave you a covenant so that you can communicate with God the Father, so that you can have an abundant life. I want you to remember what my blood was all about. The blood of Abel was crying out for vengeance. The blood of Abel was crying out for justice. The blood of Abel was crying out for punishment. In the contemporary English version, it says this. It says, "His blood flowed unto the ground. Now his blood is calling out for me to punish you." And if you know the story, then you know that God responded to the cry of Abel's blood. That is why God visited Cain. It wasn't because he wanted to make it right with Cain. He visited Cain because Abel's blood was saying something to God. Abel's blood was asking for something from God. And the reason that he came and visited Cain, the reason God came and visited Cain, was to punish him. Genesis 4:11 says this, "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." I want to make sure we see something there in that verse. You're under a curse and you're driven from the ground. Verse 2 says, "When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." King James Bible says a vagabond. So we see a principle here. Those who cause the senseless waste of blood are driven from the land that received the blood that they wasted. Perhaps a real current example of this would be Saddam Hussein and his evil sons, who are twice the sons of hell that he is. We see what exactly happened. We see that God visited as blood cried out. We see that God drove them from the land. Now, we may think America's doing that. We may think that the armies that we are in coalition with are doing that. But what I want you to see is something higher and something deeper. I want you to see the spiritual thing that's happening here. You see, God is doing that. Because the blood is talking. The blood is speaking. The blood is crying. And they will be driven from that land. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. Blood is speaking. What is it saying? What's going on? Can we learn from this? Abel's blood cried out to God, and it continues to cry out. See, once blood begins crying out and talking, it continues to talk. And God continues to listen. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 says this, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead." See, righteous blood speaks and continues to speak. The Bible tells us about Jesus and a story or a part of his life, very intense part of his life, the week of Passion. The Bible tells us that Jesus was at war with darkness. And he was at war with the Pharisaical religious system. A bunch of hypocrites. A bunch of people who were mean, people who killed people who stoned people who beat people who tortured people. And we don't think that way. But this is what Jesus was at war with this system. He called it demonic. He said, "Your father is the devil." And he was at war in confrontation the last week. And in Matthew chapters 21 through 24, we find this confrontation going on. In Matthew 23, we read there, the seven, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You take people and you make them twice the sons of hell that you are. You abuse widows. You use people. You violate people. You spill blood. Woe unto you." Jesus was intense. He was at war. He was violent in his spirit. He was coming against this religious system. And he was about to speak what was going to happen to them. And we read it in Matthew chapter 23. And here's what Jesus said to this system. He says in verse 33, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill." Notice what religion does. Religion hates. We're looking at religion in the East with Iraq and Afghanistan. They're doing what they're doing under the name of religion. But it hates and it kills. You crucify. We could maybe say you cut people's heads off. You butcher people. Others you flog. You beat them. You flay their backs open. In your synagogues, and you pursue, you chase, you pursue righteous people. You pursue them from town to town. Verse 35 says, "And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel," it's still speaking, "to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth, all this will come upon that generation." Jesus says, because of your cruelty, because of what you've done to people and the wasting of righteous blood, because of that, God's going to condemn you and you will not escape the damnation of hell. And it would come upon that generation. Now, we don't think about it, but that was a dictatorship. It was a cruel dictatorship. We could probably very closely associate it with what's happened in the past in Iraq. That's what they did to people. That's what they did to Jesus. That's what they did to the apostles. That's what they did to the prophets. Jeremiah was killed this way. Isaiah was killed this way. And Jesus said, because of the blood crying out, because of that, you're going to be removed from the land. And it's going to happen to this generation. Now, I don't know how well you know your history, your church history, but this is in any encyclopedia that you'd like to look at. But see, what happened in AD 66 is the Roman armies came in there. And they desolated that whole land. It's called the Great Tribulation. They took apart the temple. They decimated the whole land. They killed women, men, boys, girls. They removed that religious system from that land. It is gone. The spirit of Cain was removed. It was driven from that land. And that blood speaks. The blood of Abel is still speaking. The blood of those apostles and those prophets and those people that were scourged and murdered and their blood was spilled or given and wasted, they're still speaking today. What's it saying? What are they saying? Listen. You can hear it. What I want us to see today is that God vindicates the blood of the righteous. But not only does He vindicate the blood of the righteous, He listens to what it's saying forever. And concerning Memorial Day, then, as we connect the thoughts here, what is all the righteous blood of righteous Americans saying? What are they saying for the millions of people, men and women who have died so that you and I can live the life we live, righteous people? What is it saying? I want to talk about that just a few moments. Let's start with the American Revolution. American Revolution. Blood began speaking. Blood began crying out. The blood was crying out for a nation that would be established upon the principles of God, upon the principle that all men were created by God and that they were endowed with certain inalienable rights. They weren't supposed to be oppressed with a dictatorship. They were supposed to live a life of liberty and pursue happiness. And the blood began crying out. Blood began speaking to God. A nation that could be formed and established and built upon the precepts and the concepts of God. Did God hear that blood? Did God move? Did God drive that wickedness out of the land? The Bible says in Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 43, it says, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with His people, for He will avenge the blood of His servants and will render vengeance to His adversaries and will be merciful unto His land and to His people." See, we have a nation that God is merciful to. We have a nation that is built upon His concepts and precepts, upon His word is established there. And when you think about this, you see something miraculous happened. Here was this ragtag bunch of guys who, with hunting knives and muzzle loaders, defeated the world's most powerful army. Miraculously, that dictatorship was driven from our land. And there is a nation today established on the concepts and the precepts of God where all men are created equal, with certain inalienable rights to pursue life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. You get to live in that nation. People die to get to come here. Greatest nation that's ever existed. God blesses it. And that blood is still crying out. You see, that's why America is so into going to other nations and trying to help them get free. It's why it's such a part of the fiber of America, is so that we can go and help people become what they were created to be. Not live lives under dictatorships, not live lives under those kinds of situations where they're beaten and flogged and persecuted and abused, but where they can have the right to pursue happiness. That's why America does it. It's not because it's just in our Constitution. It's because the blood is crying out. It's because the blood is continuing to talk to God. Oh, give us places and nations and places like this. Listen. Is that blood still speaking? Yeah. Can you hear what it's saying? Yeah. Later on, our nation struggled in what's called the Civil War. Now, you have to understand what I'm about to say. I was born in the South. My ancestors were not, but I was. And there was a war. And again, blood began crying out. Blood began speaking. And the blood was saying that, listen, it's not right for people to be in slavery. It's not right for this prejudice that we're experiencing. It's not right that one class of people or one type of people are belittled and made slaves. And the blood began crying out. You see, the Bible says there's neither male nor female, or slave or free, or male or female, Scythian or barbarian, that we're all the same. And the blood begins crying out. And did God hear it? I want you to see from God's perspective. Did God hear the blood? And slavery was abolished and driven from this land. And it still continues on today, speaking out. And that's why there's this war on prejudice. Blood is speaking. Blood is crying out. It's a part of who we are because the blood is in the land. And it will continue speaking forever. I came to this city in 1985. And I'll never forget the first time I went through Battlefield Parkway. I was in the back of Willis Wilkie's big old white long Cadillac. And we went through that place and I said, "What is this?" I felt it and I heard it. I didn't know what it was. It was speaking. Places full of memorials. But beyond the memorials, the place is full of blood. Righteous blood. And that's why when you travel through there, if you're not ready for it, if you haven't become accustomed to it, it's intense. Judy and I was out west. It was Kansas City, but is that where it was, the memorial? Pardon? Oklahoma City. Yeah, I did the same thing. We were in Oklahoma City, and we went to the memorial where, you know, the civil building was exploded and all those people. And man, you feel it. You feel it. You can hear it. Blood is speaking. It's crying out. There's a presence at Gettysburg. There's a presence at these places where this happened. You see, and it continues to speak. But it's driven slavery out of our land. And it continues to speak to come against prejudice and racial violence. Blood is speaking. In the early 40s of 1940, in those times, there was this insane dictator named Adolf Hitler. He had convinced a whole nation that their blood was superior. He had convinced the whole nation that they were better than Jews or black people. And they were convinced that they were going to take over the world. War began. Blood began to speak. You know what happened? All of the blood of those people, millions of Jews, crying out. Thing is driven now from the land. Blood's still speaking. But that thing's gone. It's a principle throughout the scriptures that wherever you find blood being spilled, if you can kick it up a notch, not just remember those that died, but begin to listen to what they continue to say, you'll know where God is. You'll know what God's doing. You'll learn about God. I want to be on the winning side. And if righteous blood is speaking and God responds to righteous blood, then I've got to find where the righteousness is. And if I hook up with that, I'll find God. And God will bless me. It's speaking. It's crying. Continues to speak. And I want to make today's lesson very relevant. Over the past several years, past few years, actually, since 2001, there's been a lot of blood. It's been wasted, senselessly wasted, began September the 11th. 2,000 people. Blood wasted. Removed, snatched away from their homes, their families. Just doing what Cain was doing. Just doing what Abel was doing out in their field of life. Doing what they were created to do. And all of a sudden, the spirit of Cain came. Took their blood. That blood is speaking. Listen. What are they saying? Now, I don't know about you, but what I hear them saying is that we've got to get Osama bin Laden. No matter how long it takes, no matter how much it costs, we have got to rid the earth of people like that. That's what I hear the blood say. I hear God moving in that area. I see Him moving in that area. He's got to go. And all those that are like Him. If our land is supposed to be what our land and our earth is supposed to be, then that thing's got to go. No matter how long, no matter where, no matter the cost, it's got to go. I hear Iraq. And all those thousands and thousands of Iraqis who have died violently because of a dictatorship under Saddam Hussein. I hear their blood crying out. And if I listen, I'll hear what they are saying. See, dictators have got to go. It's not God's will for people. They're not supposed to be raped. They're not supposed to be put in prisons and beaten. And they're not supposed to be treated so badly and buried in mass graves. They're not supposed to be like that. I hear their blood crying out. Listen. What are they saying? I hear the blood of those that died in September 11th. I hear them saying, you know, we've got to move, get rid of bin Ladens. We've got to get rid of all of those kinds of things that bring terror and fear and senseless death and the spilling and splashing and wasting of blood. But just to make this as relevant as I possibly can, what is the blood of Nicholas Berg saying? Now, if you don't know who Nicholas Berg was, he was a 26-year-old man who on internet television had his throat slit and his head cut off. What's his blood saying? Let me tell you just a little bit about him. I read an article because I wanted to know. Nicholas Berg was a good boy. He's like you or I, like our children. I've got a son older than him. Maybe like your grandkids. They interviewed his family and his friends, and one of the interviews said this: if you had a son, you would want a son like Nick. He created his own business from scratch, and it was building towers, radio towers. He was pro-war in that he did not want the people over there under that dictatorship. And he thought the war was justified just to free them up. And what he wanted to do is take and go over there, and he wanted to rebuild radio stations, radio towers. He was not military. He had no intention of hurting anyone. He was going to go over there and rebuild radio towers for that country. He was captured. And our generation got to see one of the most vilest, evil acts imaginable. I haven't seen it, and I haven't even heard it. I don't want it in me, but I've heard about it. On television, his throat was slit as he screamed and yelled, and he was beheaded. Psalms 9:12 says this: for he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. See, the Lord will avenge Berg's blood. The person's death does not end what they have to say, nor does it end their influence upon this earth. What is the 600 plus American soldiers who have given their blood in Afghanistan and Iraq? What is it saying? Is it saying, hey, let's pack up the tents and go home? Is that all their blood means? Or is it saying, hey, we died for a cause. Let's drive this from this land. Let's bring a liberty and a freedom to these people that they've never experienced. That's what I hear it saying. It's no matter what the cost, no matter what the price, no matter how long it takes, let's get that out of here. I want to close with one more scripture. I told you it was solemn. I haven't heard one amen. I want to close with one more scripture from the book of Revelation. I hope you've turned there with me. Revelation chapter 6, start at verse 9. Read verses 9, 10, and 11. It gives us sort of an image, a picture of what's going on with this blood speaking thing. Revelation 6, 9 says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." In other words, what they stood for, what they were about. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that thou shouldst rest yet for a little season." See, there's an influence upon the earth because of the speaking out of righteous blood. It influences our earth. And it cries out, how long? How long before you make this right? And the answer is always a little season. A little season until the spirit of Cain is removed. Until Cain is driven from the land. You see, that war is going to go on until Cain is removed. That's the ways of God. Consistent right down the line. Every war. Consistent. The blood cries out and God responds to the righteous. The blood continues to cry out and keeps that land cleaned from that vileness. The blood is speaking. So as you experience Memorial Day tomorrow, and you enjoy the time with your family and your friends, and well, you should, I just want to encourage you. Find a place and become solemn. Remember that blood meant something. Blood of Jesus, remember, it was for our new covenant so that you and I can have access to God and live an abundant life. Remember that the blood is crying out for justice. Remember, but also lift a prayer. Listen. What is that blood still saying? Listen. What is God doing? Listen. If you find the righteous blood and you listen to